Jeff, how much concerned are you about the NSA affair and about the fact that all those intelligence organizations are watching us in the internet?
I'm very concerned about that. I guess I'm a little less concerned now that we know more, thanks to Edward Snowden. The tale of the NSA, I think, is a failure of oversight. Certainly, the executive branch of the United States did not manage and limit the authority of the NSA, didn't want to. The courts are secret and thus aren't real courts, because courts are about public accountability. The legislature didn't bring accountability because the secrets were kept from them. The press couldn't bring accountability because it didn't know what was going on. So we were left with the last resort of oversight, and that was a whistleblower. And it takes whistleblowers like Chelsea Manning and Edward Snowden to do what they do, but also to ruin their lives in the process. It is a tremendous sacrifice to bring information that we need. And I think we have to treat this very, very seriously now, but at least we know more now, thanks to their brave acts.
What's the role of the press in all this?
The press has to keep on the story. The press has to demand transparency. That's what we're about. The internet brings this ability for any of us to talk and any of us to speak, and I think it changes our attitude about transparency. And the first reaction to Snowden, however, of course, will be to shut down more. And so the press has to fight against that. The press has to stay on them at every possible turn to learn more. Snowden said that he's already succeeded because we're now having a discussion that we couldn't have before. That's in the press's interest as well. I think the press also has to find ways to protect whistleblowers. And we talk in the U.S. a lot about a journalistic protection of sources. We think it's a protection of the journalists. It's not. It's protection of the source, so the source can bring us information. And we journalists have to be aware that we're also being watched. So as a journalism teacher now, I believe that every single journalism student at my school has to leave with the ability to encrypt so that sources can come to them and encrypt and be safe.
What has to change in journalism? How different do we have to act in writing, in finding our stories, in investigative journalism?
Well, there's a lot of discussion in the U.S. about Glenn Greenwald as journalist or advocate. And I say, of course, he's both. And all journalists are advocates. We are advocates for the truth, for the little guy, for the downtrodden. We've always been that. We just didn't admit it. So Greenwald is an advocate for transparency and openness. And I think we journalists have to recognize that we also are advocates like that. And we have to be open and transparent about that ourselves. Why are we doing what we do and what do we believe in? But in the end of the day, what we're advocating for is an open democracy so the public can make decisions being better informed. That's always been the case.
Yeah, but do you really think that the press or journalists would be able to change things? I mean, if you had listened to the Obama speech, there's no sign that something's going to be changed concerning all NSA and all those organizations.
Obama's speech was extremely disappointing. He moved only an inch when miles were required. Here at DLD conference in Munich, I'm from the stage interviewing Anka Domscheit-Berg, and she has a new book about her life from the DDR and the Stasi to now the NSA. And I asked her, in the past she took part in a revolution that brought down a government, and now she's running for office trying to join government. And what's the difference? And she said, well, of course, in the DDR we didn't have legitimate elections, and now we do, and so we take part in them. But I also asked her about the kind of the patience of this process. And what I hear people in this field saying is that they recognize that this is going to take time. This is a process of some years. So, yes, Obama didn't move nearly as far as he should have, but the fact that he was forced to move at all is a first step, and we should take it as that and now keep pressing and keep pressing.
Do you think that journalists can hold the level of reporting about those things because people are not very aware about the thing? It's very difficult to tell them because it's so complicated. So how can they cope with that?
I'm fascinated by the difference in national reactions to the NSA story. So here in Germany, judging by media, this is a very big story and very important, and for some fairly obvious reasons. But then you look at the U.S. and it's not nearly as big a story. But then you look at the U.K., where it's not a story at all. Indeed, there's hostility to The Guardian for breaking this story and hostility from the government and other media, which is frightening to me. So I don't know what that really means, the fact that there are such vastly different reactions to this, but I think that Germany should take its position as the leader in public outrage and public demands and an effort to find new standards, which also means, by the way, that the Germans should be very demanding of their own government and finding out what is the government here doing Chancellor Merkel didn't really get upset until she found out that she was a personal victim. What about all the other people around the world who've also been victims of surveillance? But I think that we can legitimately look to the German people for some measure of leadership in a political movement around surveillance and privacy.
Going back to journalists, how does it affect our daily work? What do we have to change?
Listen, if you're covering movie stars, you don't have to change much. But if there's a chance that there's someone out there who wants to take the risk to inform you, you know, let's be honest, investigative journalism can indeed dig up things that couldn't be found. But much of journalism depends upon sources, whistleblowers, leaks, and we've got to be open to that. Well, to protect the people who will leak to us, we have to have systems in place. So it means that we should, all of us, in encryption, here from the stage of DLD, I begged the geeks to make encryption easier. It's too difficult. It's too geeky. Ugh. But if we can indeed make encryption one button easy, then we enable people to communicate with us protected. We also have to take some measure of spycraft ourselves and understand how to be able to have a conversation with someone. How do you arrange for a walk in the park to find out more information? It gets down to that. It's rather like a silly spy movie. But, you know, for example, one thing that's come out in the NSA story is that using disposable phones doesn't really work because they noticed that if someone talks normally on a regular phone, suddenly they use a phone only once. That's the conversation that matters. So, you know, it's fairly logical stuff. I don't think we should be so paranoid as to think that the NSA or the GCHQ or the German services care about every little story a journalist does. They don't. But if there's a chance that someone of import is going to bring you a story of importance, then you need to have the means for them to communicate with you securely.
The German internet activist Sascha Lobo just wrote in an essay that he is very disappointed because of all that NSA stuff, that he might have been naive, and he says that the internet is kaput. What do you answer?
Falsch. I don't think so at all. I think that this is very early in the life of the internet, and it's a tension in arguing over its fate. I wrote an e-book called Gutenberg the Geek. It's in German now. It's Gutenberg der Nerd. And
not very German.
No, it's not. And argued that academics say it took 50 years for books to take on their own form after the invention of the press. It took 100 years for the impact on society to be felt. And in that sense, the internet is in the year 1472 and Gutenberg years. It's too young to know what it is yet. It's too young to give up on it. It's too young to think that we can define and thus limit it. It's too young to risk regulating it and giving up the potential of it. This is still an infant development, and it can go either way. We can do things right and we can do things wrong. So Lobo's not wrong to worry that things could go wrong, but I definitely think he's wrong to give up. It's not kaput. It needs our care, and I think that it can still be an incredible tool of freedom.
Jeff, thank you so much.
Vielen Dank.